right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360, episode 15. We have Power Up Nutrition CEO with us today. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Luna and Company Candles. If you want to get some good candles, by all means, reach out to Luna and Company. They have a Facebook. They have an Instagram. We would thank them for being our sponsor. They're going to sponsor some of our show, next couple shows, and we're excited about that. So Luna and Company, we'll plug them here. Episode 15, starting now. PowerUpNutritionOnline.com. He's been through a lot, military background, struggled a little bit. We'll get into all that. And now he's the CEO of his own supplement company, along with a lot of other things and partnerships, and just a wonderful, wonderful guest to have on our show. John, how you been, man? How's everything going?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on, man. It's I've been following you for a bit. And I'm always looking for positive information to put into my life and to put into my ears during the day. And Eric, you had Eric on a few episodes ago, and he's a friend slash business partner of mine. And I've just been backlogging it, man, and watching all these episodes. So, you know, we had the privilege to meet a couple of weeks ago now, and, you know, it's been a good connection, and I'm happy to be here. I love the show. I love what you're doing.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, man. I love, you know, we're going to get into obviously who you are, what you're about. We're going to connect you. Obviously you're connected on a larger scale, but here locally as well, I want to connect you to a lot of folks that I'm connected to. But I love what you bring to the table. I love the fact that you're military background. Let's talk about maybe, you know, the beginning of your life. So tell us a little bit about John before CEO, before military. Let's get into that before we get into like the meat and potatoes of this stuff.
I had a very interesting childhood, to say the least. When I was really young, when I was 6 years old, I have two sisters, an older, a younger. At the time, my sister was nine. I think I was six. My younger sister was two. We had just moved into a new house. So I was born in Veracruz. So we were born out there outside of Allentown. So I did my first year of kindergarten. I did 2 years of kindergarten. I got to tell everybody, you know, I was so good at kindergarten. They wanted to have me do it twice.
It's funny, man, because I said the same thing. That happened to me. I guess I couldn't color right.
Maybe it's a military thing. I don't know. But, you know, so we moved from Veracruz, and my parents bought a house in Parkland. So then I went to Parkland. And I was six. So about 2 months after we had moved in, my father passed away. So at the time I was six, it was great. You know, he was a great dad. I looked up to him. You know, he worked hard. Even at a young age, I remember some of the things he told me and he instilled in me, and they stuck with me for such a long time. And, you know, I don't know if they would have stuck with me that long if maybe he wouldn't have passed away, but, you know, he did. And there was a lot of things that stuck with me throughout the years. So I grew up with a stepdad then, and my mom, and I got along really well with my stepdad. My sister's not so much. They didn't get along with him as much. But my father was in the Navy. And I always thought that was so cool. And I never got to hear like any of his Navy stories. I have older brothers because my dad was married twice before he married my mother. So they were all older than me. So I always had heard, they kind of had some stories, but I was like, I want to be like my dad. I want to join the Navy when I get older. So from at a very young age, I wanted to join the military. I was just something I wanted to do. And then when I got into high school, I wasn't the best student. I was maybe a C student. I was bored all the time. I was always bored. And, you know, I decided that, okay, I really don't want to go to college. So I'm definitely going to pursue this military thing. You know, I went into the military and I pretty much, I loved it. I loved it. I went in 2004, a week after I graduated, I left for boot camp. So I was ready to go. And then, you know, it was a challenge for me because it was a culture shock, as you know, especially I was, you know, 19 at the time. So it was a serious culture shock for me. And it taught me a lot of things about myself because, you know, when I went into boot camp, actually, I played football throughout my youth, but I'd stopped playing my sophomore year in high school and I got real lazy. I was out of shape. You know, I wasn't extremely overweight, but I was probably a little overweight for a 19-year-old guy. So when I went into the military, I was a little overweight, but, you know, obviously that all came off. But, you know, I was kind of out of shape. So we used to have this thing. I honestly don't even remember what they were called, but it was how they gauged your physical. You know, you had to take your tests. You had to make, be physical, your physical readiness test. So you had to do, you know, so many sit-ups, so many push-ups, and a mile and a half. Well, I never, like, the first time I ever really challenged myself in my life was the last mile and a half run that we did, the test that counted. I was good at the push-ups, I was good at the sit-ups, but the mile and a half, I had to do it in 12 minutes and 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they used to let us, like, practice, you know, because we practiced all the time, but I never got to that. I never did 12:15. I think the best was like 12:30.
Wow.
And I remember, like, going, you know, finally we had to take the physical readiness test. I'm like, crap, I haven't done it yet. I'm like, I'm just going to go as hard as I can and just pray that that's enough.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, man, I was running. I was physically yelling, man, because I did not want to stop moving my legs. Because
David Goggins, dude.
Yeah, I knew if I stopped, man, if I slowed down for like 5 seconds, that could have been the difference, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got through it. Now, if I wouldn't have passed that, I would have had to be in boot camp longer.
Yeah.
So so that was the first time, and I came through. I think I got it in like 12:08.
Yeah.
But I beat it. And that was one of the first times in my life that I can remember where I just said, I'm just going to go for it. And I'm just going to, if it kills me, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm either going to die at the finish. I'm either going to die before or I'm going to make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the things we remember too, like, you look back at it now, you're like, I could have trained for that. You know, I could have overcame that, you know?
I thought going outside, you know, when I was in high school and running around the soccer field behind my house a few times a week would have cut it, but it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I had to wait and be there. But
So just because you brought it up. So boot camp, right? You remember, was it 36 hours that we had to stay up or something? Some ridiculous amount. I know Army and Marines probably do a lot longer. And then the Navy SEALs, they have Hell Week.
It was over a day. I know that. So I would say 36, probably more like 40, closer to 48 would be fair.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember marching and, you know, cause you're getting to this moment where you're like, you're going to get your recruit hat off. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the Navy hat. And you're like, you know, you have this moment like, oh my God, like it's such a proud moment. It is a great moment. You look back at it now, you're like, it was awesome. But at the moment you're like, yes, I did this. Right. And I just remember marching and like falling asleep while we're marching. Like I was literally was falling. Like we were going to the galley and I was falling asleep, like doing this. Like, I'm like, oh, like I was done. I never stayed up that long in my life. And then obviously we got to eat all that food and all that stuff. So.
Well, if you tell a non-military person you fell asleep when you were marching, they'll look at you funny. Yeah. But, you know, we've all done that. We've all been there. I've fallen asleep marching. I've fallen asleep working. I used to sleep with my eyes open for a while. I learned how to do that somehow. But yeah, I mean, boot camp for me was, you know, I mean, I did play football when I was younger. I was real active in Parkland football when I was in middle school a little bit, my freshman year. And then my sophomore year, I had my fifth concussion and I was out. So I kind of known what it was like to physically be pushed to your limits.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing can compare to that military. It's different. You know what I mean? Because you know, you're training for something that could potentially be life-saving depending on what you're training for. You know, you talk about battle stations where you're up for 48 hours and it's, you know, you're learning how to put out fires, you know, work in extremely high stressful situations that where if you don't perform right, it could kill you or could kill someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big aha moment for me early on in my life. And I think it has helped me a lot in my professional career as well.
Yeah, I mean, and everything really. I mean, you talk about, I still do it today. I mean, not that everybody makes their bed or anything, but I make my bed every morning. You know, I get up and even when I run, there's times where I'm listening to Cadence, you know, just to switch it up. You know, I'll throw it on YouTube and just lose myself in that. And then everything else in life, there's little things that we do that we carried on, like something as simple as folding our shirts a certain way, very quickly, boom, 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 fold them up. You know, and people that are not in the military, like say you have a significant other, never exposed to that, right? A new girlfriend or something, never been exposed to that. They're like, man, what the heck was that? I'm like, oh, it's just something I've done for 20 some years, you know? But yes, I hear you. And then boot camp, it kind of strips you, right? They strip everything. They take everything. They take your
literally. Hair. They strip you when you first get there. They strip you.
Oh yeah, everything.
I was telling my daughter about that one day. She's like, "What? They did that to you?" I'm like, "Yeah, they did."
Yeah,
that
we
to
use
everybody.
The bathroom right next to people, with no barriers, mind you. Like, yeah, this guy's using. He's going. You know, he's using the bathroom. I'm using the bathroom. What are you gonna do? You know. But yeah, so let's talk about that. So you spend how many years in the military?
I did 4 years, 2004 to 2008. You know, I met my wife when I was in the military. She was actually in the military as well. We were at the same command. So I met her, I would say in 2005, we actually met. And then we started seeing each other in 2006. So we did have our first child in 2006 as well. You know, we accelerated things fast. That accelerate your life that the Navy thing used to say, we took that really serious at the time. So
how many sayings do they have?
I don't know. I think I lost count. I don't know what the new motto is. Yeah. It was accelerate your life when I was in. So I really took that personally. But no, we had our kid in 2006. And, you know, my rate in the Navy would have meant that I would have been gone a lot. I worked on an aircraft carrier or a cargo ship. I would have been one of a supply ship. There's a name for them. I can't remember what they're called, but you know, I would have been deployed probably 7-8 months out of the year. Wow. If I would have stayed in. Yeah. So, you know, we thought about it and I said, you know, the military was not for me because I wanted to focus on my family and I couldn't give my family 100% of everything being, you know, I felt like I couldn't do that if I would have stayed in. Mm. So I got out in 2008 and then I did a couple of years in reserves and, you know, just kind of been off on my own since.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, you know, we all take different paths. And I say to young people, man, listen, if you want to go see the world, you want to get, you know, you want to get some experience, you want to build your resume, join the Navy, man. You know, I was on a ship. I went to 10 different countries that I never thought in my life that I would be at. Also went to Iraq, obviously. But you know, it's been one of the best rides of my life, you know, and so I commend you. My hat's off to you as well. Even, you know, you do 6 years, 8 years, 4 years, some people do 2 years. My hat still goes off to you because, you know, you had the courage to serve, you know, your country and really do it honorably. So, but let's talk a little bit about that. So any memory that comes to light when it comes to the military, just real quick, any, the first thing that comes to mind, like when you're on
Guam. Guam. I'll tell you, there's two really. Okay. Guam, because that was the first, and Guam's not really a foreign country because it's a U.S. territory, but it was the first time I was ever out of the United States. And I remember just pulling in a port and, you know, when we were pulling in the port, I was below decks. I didn't even see sunlight. And then when I come out into the hangar bay, I'm like, look at this place. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm 19 and I'm in Guam. This is insane. You know, you talk about seeing the world and I'm like, this is one of the reasons why I joined the Navy. This is amazing. So, you know, I got the experience for the first time in my life, a different region, a different culture. There's a lot of people in Guam from Japan. That's like their Hawaii. So I got to meet a lot of like Japanese people and talk to them about their culture and just other people from around the world. So that was a really eye-opening experience for me. And then when I was deployed, I also did force protection. So what force protection is we stood a security watch. I manned a 50 caliber machine gun on a security watch. So we had a team of three, gunner, loader, and radio man. I was a gunner. And I used to be up at night and we'd see things, and you know, there was a couple instances where things got a little scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
But after that, we pulled into Bahrain for the first time. That was the first time I'd ever been in the Middle East. And I just, you know, I think that was this is a third world country, you know,
yeah.
When you go outside the base. So, I mean, I'm seeing people who live in poverty, who don't have homes, who live in tents, who are afraid of me because of where I'm from. And they're looking at, you know, things differently. And, you know, it put a lot of things to my life in the perspective is like, wow, like how blessed and how thankful I should be from where I come from and all the things that I've gotten to do. So those are really two big defining moments, I would say, when I was deployed. And then we went through the Suez Canal. And again, because I was manning the 50 caliber machine gun, we had, you know, insane security going through there. So that was another, you know, interesting thing that I got to do. But
yeah, I mean,
I think for me, honestly, and you talk about telling people, young people to see the world, you know, and not only because are you seeing the world, but you're getting a different perspective, mm-hmm. you know, when you go out and experience other cultures and see how people live life outside of the United States. You know, I forget who I was talking to. It might've been my business partner, GK. And he was saying, you know, you look at a lot of immigrants and, you know, me and my wife were talking about this the other day. You look at a lot of immigrants who come over here from these, you know, impoverished countries, and they come over here and they become entrepreneurs and they do the things that they've dreamed of because they actually can recognize the opportunity that they have. And it's not that Americans don't see it. It's just that because we're bred up in it and we see it so often, we've almost just kind of become almost unfortunately taken it to granted to a degree. So I'm blessed that I was able to see all those things because it really put things in perspective for me.
Yeah. Again, you know, these are all things that the positives, obviously, you know, the early mornings, the musters, all the, you know, there's individuals, in my opinion, that shouldn't have led in certain situations, right? They shouldn't ever made rank or whatever you want to call it. Right. And then some negative leadership experiences, but everything you just stated is extremely important with what we're going to talk about. When you transition out and then you become this entrepreneur and you become the CEO and the strength and determination and the ambition that's needed. I'm sure you got a little bit from obviously your early life and then the military, but so let's talk about that. Let's talk about, so you transition from the military and you're going into civilian life. I know a lot of people, I personally went from active duty to reserve and I had an issue transitioning. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that work for you? And so, you know, obviously there's a story behind that, but tell us about it.
No, I had a very interesting transition. I didn't go reserves when I got out. I went reserves later on. There's a reason for that. So when I got out, because I was so young when I joined the military, I got to go out and live life on my own, but it was in a controlled environment. You know what I mean? I knew where I was going to sleep. I knew where, you know, I knew when I was going to eat. I knew where I was going to be, you know, because I was being told all these things. You're going to sleep here. You're going to eat here. You're going to go here when we tell you to do this time. So, you know, for the first time in my life, I had it a little bit the 2 years leading up to I got out, but it wasn't really 100% on me. When I got out, because, you know, I did find a job when I got out. Me and my wife, we bought a house up in the Poconos. And, you know, I thought I was going to be making so much money. And I got my first paycheck and I went, oh, I'm making a lot less than what I thought I was going to be making.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't have BAH anymore, which is a housing allowance that we got when we were in the military. Instantly I felt financial pressure when I got out. And, you know, I talked to my wife and I said, you know, it's probably a good idea that you go get a job. So now we're at like 2009, right? 2010. So we all know what happened around that time, right? The big housing market crashed. The economy went down. It was a bad time for a lot of people.
Yeah, hard time.
And she was at the time working a full-time job. Now at the time, full-time job, both of us working full-time jobs, everything was fine. It was no issue. She lost her job and we were living up in the Poconos where there was no jobs. And she wasn't going to commute. We had a small kid. There was nothing up there. So we had to, you know, make a lot of sacrifices. I remember being so broke that we actually, our washer broke. Our washer broke, and I didn't have the money to afford a new washer. But in our master bath, right, there was like one of those jacuzzi tubs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'd fill it up with water, and I'd sprinkle some soap in there. Yeah. And we would just like, I think we used like a big like broom handle and just like moved it around like that.
Yes,
like, turned the jets on. Life,
man, I'm telling you, but you got to do what you got to do to survive.
But I remember, and I'm sitting back, and I'm so defeated. I'm like, I don't have enough money to buy a washer for my house. I never had these problems when I was in the military. So maybe I'll go back to the military. So I contacted a recruiter, and when I got out, I was an E4. So now we're, I think in 2000, it might be 2010, 2011. They said, well, you can't go back in active duty because you were an E4. You know, you're petty officer third class, and it's cheaper for the military to just send someone through boot camp and have them go in as an E2 rather than have you go back in as an E4. So you have to go to the reserves first, and then you have to essentially re-enlist. So
journey is always a journey.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, you know what, that's fine. I'll do what I need to do. You know, the extra money will be nice, you know, to help us out. So in that time, I also decided, well, the GI Bill was going to pay. They had just changed the GI Bill. So if you took online courses, they would still send you housing allowance.
Yeah, they stipend you.
So I would have like, because I signed up for a course to do, it's through Pinnacle Career Institute. I got a associate's degree in exercise physiology. So while I was doing that 100% online, they were sending me, you know, a BH. So financially coming back on my feet, I got that coming in. We actually moved out of our house. We tried to short sale it. We moved out of it, wound up foreclosing, and then went into a townhouse in Bethlehem. And then, you know, our rent was much lower. So our rent's lower. Our, you know, we got extra money coming in. I'm doing the reserve thing. And I had just started working as a personal trainer at Gold's Gym. So I was working my full-time job. I was working at a you know, Gold's Gym part-time, making some money. And it's funny one day, the reserve place I was at. So I've been in the reserves now for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come up to me, they had just had a change of command. And the new yeoman calls me into the office and they said, hey, you know, Petty Officer Elogio, you shouldn't be here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I shouldn't be here. I've been coming here for the last year and a half. You know, what are you talking about? They're like, well, you were supposed to re-enlist and you never did. So you can either re-enlist today or you could go home. And I'm like, oh, I'm going home. I'm like, I'm going home. Cause I didn't really need it was like $250 or whatever at the time.
Yeah, so yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think at this time now too, I'd finished my associate's degree and I started taking classes to get my bachelor's in business.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished. So you can see it's all starting to come together now, right?
Yeah.
Things are moving slowly, getting back on my feet. You know, went through some hard times, but you know, I started taking classes to get my bachelor's degree, and I finished my bachelor's in, I want to say 2012. It was, I got my degree in business. And at the time, my wife is from Phoenix originally, and she never really got the opportunity to go home after she got out of the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we started looking at the area. She's like, we should move out there. I'm like, yeah, let's just do it. The hell with it. Like, we've been through enough shit. Right. Yeah. So let's just do it. Like, I don't even care. I had like $8,000 in the bank. I didn't even have that much money in the bank.
Like a movie.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's nothing here for us. Let's just go out and do it and see what happens. Right. There's the fitness community out there is huge. At the time, me and my wife were doing a online personal training business.
Yeah.
So clients would come to us. They could get programs. We had a website. They could log in, get workouts. It was a pretty cool system that we had set up. And then we kind of ran together, and it was a lot of fun. So we're like, let's just go do this out in Arizona, man. Everyone's fit. Everyone exercises out there.
Yeah.
So we just started looking for rental homes, and you know, we finally found one, and it wasn't in the best area, but it was like a house, and it was kind of nice. So we didn't care. And I'm way out of my transition from the military. Do you want me to keep going?
Cause this is like a movie. I like this.
Okay.
It's very much like you're way ahead of the game here. Like you're
perfect.
What year is this?
So this is 2013 now.
Yeah.
So I'm about 5 years removed from the military now.
Yeah, everybody's coming out now with the virtual training. So you're way ahead of COVID. You're like pre-COVID, what, 8 years, and you're actually doing this
training. I should have stayed on it, man. I was on to something, but I,
yeah, exactly. You would have been the pioneer.
And it's pioneer,
but go ahead. So you're doing online training. This is great.
It's funny because me and my wife actually wanted, I wanted to do it. I wanted to start my own supplement thing.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have the money to do it. You know, it was something we would have liked to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know where to get started. So I just kind of didn't focus on it. And then, so we moved out to Arizona. I got a job as a fitness director at XL Fitness. And I worked there for a few months. And we continued to do our online thing. But a friend of mine who had worked there as a trainer got a job at Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Mm.
And he goes, hey, man, you should come work for Enterprise. You'll make a lot more money. And you were in the military and you have a college degree. They'll hire you in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like their prerequisites. Either you have to have a bachelor's degree or you have to have been in the military. And I had both, so I was good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went and worked for them for about 2 years. I went up through the management. I became an assistant branch manager. I was a branch manager, but my title was assistant branch manager. I was running two branches on my own because we didn't have a branch manager.
Wow.
So I worked there. I got a lot of experience in how to be a manager and how to, you know, run a, you know, an employment, a staff of people, you know, how to treat customers. The amount of, if you know anything about Enterprise Rent-A-Car, they're huge on customer service,
like, yeah,
to the point where it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
How much, and that's good for, that's great for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
For the employee, sometimes it's really like tough.
but
I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I actually wound up leaving there to go back to a company I was working with when I left the military, because I was doing fire sprinkler inspections. I really enjoyed doing it. And my wife had just gotten pregnant now with our third kid.
Mm.
So I was like, yeah, let's go back to this. And then I actually, in that time frame, I started to buy and sell on eBay. And I created an e-commerce store. So what I was doing was I was buying things overseas, and I was buying things wholesale and then selling them through my e-commerce site. And running, I learned how to run Facebook ads, Instagram ads. So it was like
way ahead of the game.
Well, so now this is 2018. So,
oh, well, still you're ahead of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I started to do this. And then my wife goes, hey, maybe we should go back to Pennsylvania. And I'm like, are you serious? You really want to go back to PA? I just built a $25,000 pool in the yard. I'm like, but look, hey, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm okay with living there. Like, it doesn't matter.
Let's go home.
So she's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of lonely out here because her family, she didn't have a lot of family out there. And I have a huge Italian family. We like to get together. It's crazy. It's loud. My wife always jokes. She says, the first time I met your family, I had to take Tylenol because you guys are so loud. I got a headache. I'm like, yeah, that happens. It's totally a normal experience. Don't worry about it. You know, we moved back in 2018 and I continued to do my e-commerce business. And I, throughout this time, by the way, I've always been in the fitness. I've always been in the bodybuilding.
Mm.
Me and my wife both, like, occasionally she would take on a nutrition client, or she actually wrote an ebook for juicing that she does, like fruit juicing, vegetable mm-hmm. juicing, stuff of that mm-hmm. kind of juicing. I say juicing in the bodybuilding world, and sometimes I think that means something else.
So, talking about juice, real juice.
Actual juice, yeah.
Bananas, peaches, or whatever you want to put in there, lemons. Yeah, we don't want to go in that world.
So she does that, and then, you know, I was sitting around one day, and I'm like, you know, I've learned a lot through e-commerce and how to do this online. Maybe I should revisit this supplement thing. And I started to seriously contact manufacturers, and I saw the cost. And I honestly could have done it 100% by myself, but I wanted a partner who was familiar with the industry, like I was familiar with taking supplements, you know, because me and my wife have this one rule. It's even though, like, when we did our personal training stuff together with this and all the other things that I've done, we don't really run businesses together. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife have been married for 15 years and we have an amazing marriage. She is like the most supportive wife I could have ever asked for. She's amazing. So I don't want her to be my business partner, because that's, I feel like that's just a different relationship. Mm-hmm. So she helps me. She helps me with a lot of things. But we have this wonderful balance. So mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't going to be her, you know. I needed an actual business partner who maybe sometimes, you know, can be straight with me. So I had met GK about a year before that. And, you know, I've seen his success. Yep. He owns GK United, Evolve. And I mean, a top network marketer, mortgage guy. The guy does it all. Mm-hmm. So, and not only that, but he's like a previous PA State bodybuilder. So he knows the industry. He knows the industry really well. So I, you know, casually knew him, you know, we had talked previously, because we were in Connect together, and, you know, I just reached out to him. I said, hey man, listen, here's the deal. You know, I'm contacting manufacturers. I want to create, a product line for, you know, fully dosed complete supplements. There's no bullshit in them. You know, we're going to be totally transparent. They're going to be actual health supplements that you can use inside and outside the gym. And he goes, yeah, man, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. We put a business plan together. We talked about our investment, how much we wanted to do, where we wanted to start it. And, you know, we started our LLC in the inside of a pizza shop in 2019.
That's great. So,
and then here we are almost 2 years later. So
that's awesome. So the supplement company is called Power Up Nutrition. I love it because it has a little power sign.
Yep.
PUN, love the marketing aspect of it. Can you tell us a little bit about that? So Power Up Nutrition, how does that name come about?
A lot of just throwing stuff at the wall, man. Honestly, you know, that was part of it.
That's awesome.
And
that's
then,
real.
And then, you know, we wanted to, you know, we thought, well, let's do Level Up. And that seemed kind of corny because, you know, there's One Up supplements. And we thought Level Up was maybe too close.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge, I'm a big, like, on my off time, I love to play like old video games. Like, that's just one of the things, I do, like, to get away. Some people watch TV or Netflix. I'll go play like Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like I like the whole like power, level up, power up. And then GK, because he uses power in a lot of his things, like powering. Mm-hmm. So we're like, dude, what about Power Up? Like, there's gotta be a supplement company called Power Up, right? Like, there has to be. So we Googled it, we looked it up, nothing. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, Power Up's perfect. I mean, it goes, you know, exactly to what we want.
Power up. That's awesome, man. And then so let's backtrack a little bit here. I want to ask you a question about you mentioned working out, you mentioned bodybuilding. You know that I competed when I was in my 20s. Many folks know I competed. So I love the sport. I love the training, the learning nutrition, the diet, or the way of, I never called it a diet. I always called it the way of life, the way of life of eating and really understanding the science behind it and what you can do and how you can, you know, take in a lot of water and people think you drink a lot of water, you're going to hold a lot of water. It all works together. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit how that changed your life. I think we had a conversation before, when we first met, and you were talking about how, you know, you were kind of working out and you felt a certain way. How has working out changed your life?
Yeah. So I was actually at one point back in the story when, you know, when I said we were going through those financial troubles real early on, I was really overweight because I had stopped working out. I mean, I never really, I'll be honest with you, when I was in the military, I didn't work out that much. I was like, just, you know, I just kept standards. So I just wasn't, you know, I started to gain a little bit of weight as I got out. I was on, they called it the FET program. Like the last 6 months I was in, so I stopped caring, which is like the guys who don't meet standards. So they make you work out a little bit more. Yeah. So I was one of those guys, but I didn't care. I was getting out. I'm like, I got like 3 months left. What are they going to do? You know, kick me out. I'm getting out. It doesn't matter. So, you know, and then I continued unhealthy habits. And the unhealthy habits started while I was still in, because we were in dry dock and I was a master at arms. I was TAD. So I was master at arms. I was temporary, mm-hmm. a military police for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I work nights. my diet consisted of those big 7-Eleven burritos because we were dry dock, which means we're inshore. We didn't go out to sea. I would leave to work. I'd stop at a 7-Eleven. I'd get a pack of cigarettes. I'd get a 3-pound burrito and I'd get a big thing of Mountain Dew. Mm. And that's what I ate and drank, you know, for the next 12 hours. Man. So, you know, hey, when you're 22, you're invincible. So you don't think about those things. So the unhealthy diet really kind of continued into my, you know, civilian life. And then when I got out, I was just, you know, drinking on the weekends. I was living in the Poconos. There's nothing to do up there. So I remember one time I got on the scale and I weighed 244 pounds.
Wow.
And I was like, holy, and I'm only 5'8", by the way.
Linebacker.
I'm like 5'8". You've met me, so you know I'm not a tall guy. Yeah. I'm like 5'8" with really thick soles on. So realistically, I'm more like 5'7.5".
Yeah.
So I'm a short guy. So 244 was like, you know, I was a big dude. Luckily for me, I carried everywhere. So it was really even, right?
Yeah.
I'm very dense, I like to say.
Mesomorph. So, you're a mesomorph. Yeah.
So I was like, I got to do something. I'm gonna do this. There was no gyms up by me. So I found that P90X. I was like, I'm going to do this P90X thing. I'll do it in my living room. I don't care. And I did it for a year and a half. And in that year and a half, I lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
And my wife goes, I like that you're thin now, but you're getting skinnier than me. Cause I weighed like 167, 168. So I got really lean.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe I'll start like lifting weights and doing more. So I got heavier weights. And then I was like, and that's when I started to go to school and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I'm like, well, I really like exercising and working out. So I'm going to get my degree in exercise physiology. So I studied anatomy, nutrition, exercise physiology, all that good stuff. Right. I got my NSCA certification. So I think that really was kind of the springboard, that stupid DVD called P90X. Right.
Well, hey, that changed a lot of people's lives. That changed your life.
So I think, you know, that was kind of the propellant, you know, that pushed me forward and really got me into it.
That's awesome, man. And again, it feeds into now what we call Power Up Nutrition, right? So so now you have this brand and you become this CEO. And so now how does that take a life onto its own? Like, are you continuing to learn?
Yeah, every day, man.
How does it evolve?
Yeah, like dude, every day. And it's funny because I remember the first few problems we had early as a company, you know, our manufacturer would leave an ingredient out or leave it off the label, or we'd have a printing issue. And I'm like, okay, you know, these were like early on, we wanted to launch our product and we're just bam, bam, bam. Now, when we launch a product, we fully expect, okay, we're going to have a label issue. Like some point somewhere, everything can be perfect.
Yeah.
We're going to have some sort of weird labeling issue. Like it's just going to happen. So we'll just give ourselves like an extra week for that. Right.
Yeah.
So things like that. So, you know, kind of just, yes, learning as we go, because I didn't know how to run a supplement company when I first started.
Yeah.
You know, another thing is networking, right? Yeah. You know, it's not just, hey, here's, you know, the supplement industry is one of the most crowded industries in the world right now. It's one of the biggest industries. It's also one of the most, probably the most crowded, especially in the fitness world. You can't just expect to throw a product up there, throw it online, put a link up and expect people to buy it, because what reason do they have to buy your product? Especially, oh, by the way, our pre-workout is one of the most expensive pre-workouts on the market right now, because it's one of the best and it has the most ingredients in it, which are all fully dosed, you know? So what reason do we give them, you know? So that is part of, you know, where it comes to building a brand and building a lifestyle around our brand. You know, the thing with our, you know, you had mentioned your bodybuilder. What you mentioned you were a bodybuilder, but what else did you do when you were a bodybuilder at the time?
Nutrition, diet, learned. I kept learning.
Besides fitness though, what else did you do?
as far as
so you didn't just body, like you didn't wake up, go to the gym and then go to sleep, but what else did you do?
Well, we ate, I talked to people, I learned, I went to GNC, and just like everybody else, I went online, I went to, you know, I try to learn as much as I can, and I learned what was in these products, right. You know, like a lot of them have different things that I learned what amino acids were. I learned what, you know, creatine was. I learned, you know, a lot of different things, you know, that it's not just, you know, you go to the gym, workout. There's some science to it, you know. Mm-hmm.
There's science, and you also had a professional life. You were probably, you know, you were younger. You were, I don't know if you went to school.
Yeah.
But maybe you were younger. You're starting your career.
I was in the Navy. Yeah.
So we have a, right now the industry is heavily towards, you know, you see stuff like Psychotic, stuff like Total War, you know, this I'm going to take this scoop of this powder and just feel like I'm like, I just took the super serum from Captain America. You know what I mean? And then
very dangerous
because because it's so fully stimped. What happens when you get home, when you're done working out, you want to crash.
Yeah.
You sit down and you crash. Well, we recognize that, like, hey, you know what? There's a lot of people, hardcore bodybuilders, people who are just fitness instructors, people who just want to work out 2 hours a day because they want to help, you know, it's therapy for them. Mm-hmm. These people have lives outside of the gym. So let's manufacture supplements that's going to help them inside the gym. But oh, by the way, they can drink it when they're doing a, you know, 360, you know, social
connected 360. Yeah.
So yeah. we wanted the mom who works all day,
yeah,
goes to the gym. We want her to be able to take our pre-workout. Mm-hmm. And then because of all the natural vitamins in it and the natural vitamins and the superfoods that are in there are going to propel her and to have the energy to go home and, you know, help her kids with homework and get her kids in the bath. And, you know, same thing with the dad who has to get up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym and then go to work. You know, these people have lives. They just, our customers don't live in the gym. They just recognize that fitness and having that physical well-being is going to benefit them in the professional life. And we want to have supplements for them.
Yeah. I mean, and that within itself, I know that the market, you want to market to obviously other folks too, but that is a market that is huge. Like that's a lot of people. It's a lot of people that just want to feel good. They want to go to the gym. They're not trying to be a bodybuilder. They're not trying to do anything too crazy, but they also want to feel good. And then they don't want to have that major crash, like you said. And it, true story, when I was, and we talked about this, but when I was bodybuilding my third year, I think it was my second or third year, I already did like 5, 6, 7 shows. So I kind of got into it and I really started to really understand the concept of how important supplements are and how to really look at a supplement and say, that's something that I really, you know, want to invest in, because it's an investment. It really is. And
yeah, absolutely.
But you have to understand that there is a marketing aspect of it. And you can probably touch on this too. There's a marketing aspect. So there's stuff that's going to grab your attention, but you have to flip that around and you got to look at that label and say, okay, what's really in here and what are the reviews as well? And obviously I know you have a lot of ambassadors on board. You got some athletes on board that are, you know, obviously vouching for your product. That's also important, right? Who's taking this stuff and who's vouching for it? And so I learned early on that, you know, I was not going to be swayed by the marketing aspect of it, even though that's important. But what's on the backside? You know, it's like mine, and no offense, I have an Apple iPhone. To me, you know, iPhones are a little bit more expensive, right? To me, that is, they market to say, well, this is top of the line stuff here. No offense with Android. I know they're catching up and I'm not plugging them. I'm not getting paid by Apple, but your product's like going to Starbucks, right? You want to get the best, you know, people love Starbucks, right? I love Dunkin'. I'll have some Starbucks once in a while, but a lot of people love Starbucks and they're going to pay a little bit more to get that quality, right? And so that's what I noticed out of your product. But I mean, if you want to touch on that, I mean, that's extremely important.
Yeah, you talked about brand ambassadors, and I, you know, go to what you're saying. one of our newer brand ambassadors for a long time. People in the fitness industry and bodybuilders are very brand loyal when it comes to their supplements. You know, regardless, for whatever reason, they have an idea in their head, and maybe that's because it was a marketing ad they saw, but a lot of people are very loyal. And one of our brand ambassadors, who had just became a brand ambassador less than a month ago, was one of those people. You know, mm-hmm. Nah, we don't need that Power Up Nutrition. It's, you know, I like our stuff. And I said, mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, awesome. A couple of her friends were brand ambassadors for us. And, you know, I'll tell you, she loves the supplements. She loves our products, because anybody who's knowledgeable in supplementation and our products, if you look at our label, because we are fully transparent, hey, this is some good stuff, you know, especially our pre-workout. If I show it to a gym owner, this is a home run. They love it. But the thing that sold her, and I'm learning this, you want to talk about it as one of the things we learn as we go. I think the thing that sold her was the culture we're creating, you know, especially with our brand ambassadors, our athletes, and bringing those people together, right, that have real professional lives, but also enjoy bodybuilding. Maybe they do shows, maybe they just stay fit. But because we're bringing this group of people together in this culture, we're creating this culture that isn't just about, hey, let's get huge and turn into freaks and monsters, right? Yeah. That really attracted her to our brand. And yeah. she reached out to us and said, hey, you know, I don't think I actually never asked her to be a brand ambassador. She did come to us. And I remember one time earlier on, like a year before that, I asked her friend who's a brand ambassador. I said, hey, what's up with so-and-so? Oh, they won't use our stuff because they like their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally they reached out to me a year later. So, you know, it's one of those things. People have to see what you're doing in this industry. Yeah. It's not so much about the product. Now, we manufacture our products to make fully dosed complete supplements. But that's not what's going to attract people. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's going to be culture. Sometimes it's going to be branding. Sometimes it's going to be they like yellow and black and they like the colors. So you never know. Right. But our goal is to just continue to build our product base, continue to build our brand and our awareness and just get that active lifestyle out there to people.
And for me, I'm always like a home person, right? So like, I love the fact that you're based out of the Lehigh Valley, you're based out of Pennsylvania. And obviously you're nationwide, I mean, anybody can order your stuff, but you're based out of here. And I tell folks, I say, listen, what better way to keep our money in our community than to shop local, or you know that there's a company based out of here, their headquarters are here, right? Let's keep that money here. Let's help them grow. And we all grow together. You know what I'm saying? Not only in the gym, hence, but we grow together financially and, you know, helping each other out. So awesome stuff, man. You got, how many products do you have right now? I see five or six on your website right now.
We have four products. Okay. One of them is a whey isolate protein with two flavors. One of them is a pre-workout with two flavors. One of them is a branched chain amino acid, which is what I'm drinking right now. It's two flavors. And then we have our formula 610, which you'll get a kick out of 610. I don't know how many people actually catch that, right? I don't know how many people catch that, but that's our advanced shredder. That's our thermogenic. So that's our fourth product. We launched with our thermogenic and our pre-workout. Since we launched our whey protein and our branched chain amino during COVID. So we're just working on getting more flavors out, you know, for our pre-workout this summer. And then we want to do another flavor for our protein. And then hopefully by fall, if everything continues to go as well, I actually have a whole nother product line come fall. So we're moving, man. We're just reaching out. Our goal is to build locally first, because we want to be a national brand. But listen, if we can't be an Allentown or a Bethlehem or a Lehigh Valley brand, yeah. If we can't be that, if people don't immediately recognize us here, how's anyone ever going to recognize us on a national level? So we got to start small, and we're going to spread out and, you know, just do our thing, man. Maybe one day I'll be on Joe Rogan next. You know? Then I could give you a plug on there.
You will be on there. Yeah, you gotta envision that into reality. So you got a customer in me. I never say never. I might make a comeback. I might put the speedos back on. I'm doing a lot of running now. I'm doing a lot of working out. I'm noticing that I am slowing down as far as my recovery. I'm trying to do some little tricks in the gym, you know, for instance, what I call 100 reps. Yeah. And maybe you heard about this, but like the day after, I'll do a lightweight of maybe, say I did chest, I'll do some lightweight chest for 100 reps, maybe do 50, really light, just get that blood back in there and try to recover that muscle from the hypertrophy, you know, the ripping of the muscle, and try to get that blood back in there and just get that pump. But definitely going to look into, you know, obviously you got a customer in me, cause I'm getting older, I'm 41 and I need stuff to help me, you know, recover and just feel good and feel that pump. If I ever make a comeback, I don't know. We'll see.
It'll happen. I can tell, man, just from talking to you the last couple of weeks. He'll be back.
I've seen, you know, obviously your Instagram, you're posting a lot of stuff. I love all the stuff. You and your wife, just an inspiration, man. Everything, serving in the military, this brand, all the struggle, washing your clothes in your bathtub. I mean, it's like a movie. Yeah. I love it. Two more questions, just and we're good to go. So 19, what do you tell John at 19 if you can go back in time? What piece of advice would you give a 19-year-old John?
Man, I would tell myself, stay in your lane. And what I mean by that is don't try and keep up with everybody else. You know, I posted a post, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. And I said, if you try and walk somebody else's path, you're going to get lost, you know? So stay on your path, but recognize that you're competing with yourself first. You're not competing with everybody else. If you try and keep up with the Joneses, you're going to be like everybody else. You're going to fall. You're going to find yourself in a hole and washing clothes in your bathtub. Because I think that's what I did early on. Like I got enamored with, you know, buying this big house when I got out of the military and having this huge yard and having all these things when I wasn't ready for those things yet.
Yeah.
You know, what I should have been focusing on was is learning what I learned later on. Right. Mm-hmm. I should have been focused on how to build up my confidence, my physical well-being and how to grow from there and not just try and leapstone everything, you know? So stay in your lane. Don't try and compete with everybody else. Compete with yourself first.
I love it. We talk about it all the time. A lot of people talk about it, and coming from someone like you, obviously we all have our unique story. But there is a 19-year-old John right now, female, male, whatever. They need to hear that, you know, they need to hear that. It could change your life forever. I said it in my last podcast and I'll say it in every podcast. We live right now.
Yeah.
We don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We can have the memories of washing our clothes in the bathtub, and we can use that as motivation to never be at that place again, you know? And we can aspire to do great things or try to do great things in the future. But we live right now. And I totally agree with you. We have to stay in our lane, and we have to really understand that, hey, if Joe Rogan has the number one podcast and I aspire to do that, I understand I have my style, I have mine, and maybe one day we'll get to that level. But if not, we still impacted a lot of people. We did great things. So real quick, where can people find you? I know you have a couple, obviously, social media stuff. We mentioned your website, but plug it again. Where can people find you these days?
Yeah, the best way to find me, Instagram, pun.ceo. You'll have me on there. I'm pretty active on Instagram. I'm trying to post a lot more on there and just trying to interact with those people as we build our brand. I'm on Facebook, John Elogio. If you send me a friend request, I do kind of like filter it first because it is my personal page. I don't have like a business page. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. You know, I'm not going to hide behind a profile, but that's more of like my personal thing. You know, you can find out more about me on Facebook. Instagram's like the pun John Elogio, you know, that's me on there. Yeah. You can follow our Instagram for Power Up Nutrition. It's Power Up Nutrition Online on Instagram. And then on Facebook as well, it's Power Up Nutrition. So
awesome. And then powerupnutritiononline.com, folks, powerupnutritiononline.com. We're going to try to see if we can get them to be a sponsor for the next couple of shows. We'll talk about that later. So if someone wanted to order, they can order straight from the website. They can, you know, reach out to you, or is that, do they just go straight?
No, they can order directly from our website. We ship anywhere in the US, we ship to Canada, we do ship overseas, you know, so yeah, we're all open. So anywhere on the website.
Awesome. And then we touched on this, and this will be the last thing, ambassadors, anybody that wants to team up with you, same thing through the website, reach out to you.
So we just revamped our entire ambassador program to make it more streamlined. So if you go to powerupnutritiononline.com, you go to Pun Family, and then you can kind of see like our leadership there. You know, I'm on there, my business partner, Angie, who is our ambassador liaison, all of our brand ambassadors, my awesome wife, who's one of like our event reps / brand ambassadors. And listen, before we go, man, I know I mentioned her before, but I have to give a huge shout out to my wife. She's amazing. You know, it's funny because, you know, we've been together 15 years, but she is insanely supportive of everything. And she's, we have a good team thing going with how we approach everything. She's always been so supportive. But if you go on there, you'll see Pun Family. You can fill out there. It'll say, join the Pun Family. You just enter your name, email, and tell me your fitness story. Like, we want to know, because what's going to happen is either I'm going to call you, or my brand ambassador liaison is going to call you. And we want to see if you're a good fit for the team. Mm-hmm. So, and then we'll go over the perks with you. So just fill that form out. Someone will get in contact with you, but tell us your story first when you do that. And then
absolutely,
we'll reach out to you, and then we'll get you going on the team.
Well, my man, I really appreciate you, sharing your time with us. This is a episode that I really looked forward to, because it's something that I really, really love. And I think is extremely important. Your story is important. Your service to our country is important. You're a brand that I think we should all invest in because of your story and your commitment to our country, and then obviously to your brand. So, my man, thank you so much for.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it's an honor to have you. We're going to work together. There's some stuff coming up we're going to do. We're not going to review anything right now, but we're going to work together. You guys will see it. We're going to put some nice stuff together. Just stay tuned for that. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate your time, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. There you have it, folks. Episode 15, SC360. Like I always say, we're trying to connect you with folks. And that's our mission. That's our goal. Like I always say, stay connected.